weeks, months, whatever, the things that I've been challenged with in my own spiritual walk and life, and just recently, one of the greatest, I suppose, insights hit me like a ton of bricks. I've always been a strong advocate of who we are in Christ. I remember growing up in church having no idea that God had done what he'd done for us. Went through the Christianese motions quite strongly and very committed, not a problem. Got a little bit tired of it and rebelled a little bit, but God got hold of my life. And in the early 70s, I was, you know, definitely given a directive by God to go and study his word, and one of the first things that I remember learning, there was a sheet given to me that was like a blue or purpley blue, and it talked of who we were in Christ. And I had never been taught any of the things that the word of God had explained or been clear about regarding who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're bought with a price, with the precious blood of the Lord. And I always knew that Jesus died for me and he took my sins and whatever have you, and that I was born again and I was going to go to heaven. But the reality of who I was in Christ as a child of God was never taught. And it became a real passion of mine to teach who God had made us to be, that we're seated in heavenly places in him, that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I was always of the understanding that I was going to struggle all my life, and then when Jesus came and rescued me, the fight would be over. And there was some form of, you know, perpetual battle that I was always going to be in, never gaining the victory, never knowing that I was an overcomer in Christ and that I would overcome my own fears, inhibitions, failures through the faith in what Christ had done and who he'd made me to be in him. I found out I was seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principality, power, dominion and might, and every name that's named not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And I found out that all things were under the feet of Christ, and because I'm part of his body, things could be under my feet as well, that I had the authority in Christ Jesus to walk in so much more. And I took that as an amazing revelation of God's truth. And I've taught it, and I'm passionate about it. I'm still passionate about it. Don't get me wrong. But God corrected me recently in looking at it from more than a status position and a spiritual right for my life. And I was listening to Curry Blake, and he's teaching on the fact of who we are in Christ is for us to function in Christ as he wants us to. It has an outworking that benefits the world. It's not just a position for me. I'm not just sitting in this status position. Glory to God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood, and having all of the status rights of what God has done for me or made me to be. But now I've come to recognize the unbelievable capacity that gives me the rights to in God to function and operate as God wants me to be as a child of God. Not as a child of God, as a son of God. I should put that right. There's a lot of difference, and I'm going to go through that today and let you see that. I was listening to Curry, and he was talking about things that we all have the capacity and the right to do. And he said, and there was a question came up in this particular session that he was doing. Why is it that Paul left whoever it was sick back in, was it Lystra or Laconia, one of those places? He said, I left him sick and he couldn't come with me. Curry said, I'll give you a really simple explanation for that. He said, I got a call from a lady in the church whose daughter had been totally, don't know whether it was through an accident or something else, but she was rushed to hospital in a coma. The prognosis was quite critical and they didn't give her much hope. I said, we don't think she'll pull out of this. And the woman in the church rang and said, you know, Pastor Curry, can you go and pray for her? So he said, I took one of my associates with me and from my office, and off we went to the hospital, and I got there and her fiance was guarding the door. You can't go in there. It's intensive care. You can only come in if you know, we're not going to let you go in there. And he was really quite, you know, guarding the door. Curry said to his associate, you distract him, I'll go in and raise her up. Matter of fact, not big demonstration or whatever. So the associate distracted this guy for a second. Curry's opened the door, gone inside, walked over to the girl in the bed, and Jesus said, I set you free from the effects of this coma. And every broken bone in your body and everything that's affecting you, I set you free and restore you to normality in the name of Jesus. And walked out. The guy's still struggling with the fiance. He said, come on, the work's done, let's go. Now, there was no signs or manifestation of the healing or any difference to the girl in the coma, in the bed. He just said, the job's done, let's go. And walked off. He said, I left her sick, quote, in the hospital bed. And we drove back to the office. Now, you and I would probably be in a bit of a tiz over this. We'd be, nothing's happened. God, what's going on? And we'd be getting into a spiritual panic mode or whatever. Curry, as a matter of, just in total confidence and faith in God, was driving back, I got back to the office, whatever it was, about, I think it was half an hour later. They get a phone call. She got up, totally healed. She's totally well. She's running up and down. Oh, the hospital ward. She's telling everybody what God's done. The doctors are amazed. A report comes in. The job is done. What was it about that action blew me away? But then the teaching went on and I began to learn that faith in God and in His Word and having total confidence that the Word of God says this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will. Said, we are not born again children of God, seated in heavenly places, to have a tag on our chest or wherever, or wear a cap or a hat that says it, for our benefit. We are there for the benefit of others. And he said, the simple life-giving command. Now, I've begun to realize there's a whole realm of capacity in operating as a son of God that I haven't tapped into yet. And I'll tell you what, it's churning. I'm not getting away from it. I'm not losing it. I'm saying, God, there's so much to this. And I've begun to realize that we have a responsibility to live as Jesus wants us to, which is to emulate and pattern Him. You know, if the demoniac was on the car park outside that Jesus encountered, and everybody was paranoid and petrified of this guy because he was an absolute nutter, and he tormented the place and tormented the people, and I've been in areas where people have been delivered from demons, and I've seen so much go on, and things that have been yelling and screaming and so forth. But, you know, I looked at Jesus, and this guy actually came up and said, "We know who you are, Jesus, the Son of David." And he commanded them to be quiet. Just said, "You be quiet." He says, "Well," and they responded. They said, "Well, if you're going to cast us out, let's go into the field of pigs here." And there was no anything much more than Jesus just said, "Fine, go. Fine, go." And they left the man who was left standing there in his right mind and completely set free. The pigs ran off and went and drowned themselves in the lake nearby or whatever, the river, whatever it was. But the matter of fact that how Jesus operated has become such a tenacious reality to me. When the guy said, "My son's lying at home," he says, "I'll come and heal him." He says, "No, Lord, just speak the word and only." And he says, "Well, it's exactly as you want. Go home, your son's well." He goes into where the daughter had died or was sick. But she dies on the way home, and Jesus goes, "Don't worry about that." He walks in, he just says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise, get up." There was no, and you're saying, "Oh, but that's Jesus." Now, Jesus didn't function in any other way but as a man on this planet. And let's go through these notes now and have a look at what it is to be a son of God. This scripture, or these scriptures, have been quite pandied around and mostly out of context. The four spiritual laws were used as a sales pitch for salvation. I've mentioned it several times. You meet someone, you want to lead them to Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, there's a penalty for your sin. He says, you're going to die. And then Revelation 3:20, totally out of context. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll come in, I'll, you know. And then John 1:12, and if you receive him, he gives you the authority to become a son of God. And so this was the spiel we were taught to giving people an introduction to Jesus. We knew no better, but we were given this. And we used it, sometimes successfully, most of the time not. But we talked to people about how to come to Jesus using the, quote, four spiritual laws, which were, as I said, completely out of context of the scriptures anyway. Going on from there, that last verse in this last couple of weeks has blown me away. John 1:12. But as many as received him. Anyone here received Jesus in this place? We're part of the many? Yeah, good. But as many as received him. And that's not just us. That's anybody and everybody on this planet who has received him. As many as have received him. Let's next one. Next slide, mate. To them he gave. I want you to look at that. The day we receive Christ, something is given to us. To them he gave. Who's the them? Those who've received him. To them he gave, past tense, all power, right, and capacity, next slide, to become. It's interesting, that word become has connotations to it. Be is a state of existence. I'm a human being. I don't have to be a human. I don't try to be a human. I am a human. I am a human being because I'm being a human regardless, whether I like it or not. So my existence is what I be. But the come is part of a direction, a travel, a journey, a growth, a development, or a process. So when the word become, in your existence, you are to change in your development, growth, and process into a different or a greater or a more person with a greater capacity or more capacity. The word the is a definite article word, which we know of. Everything that has the attached to it is a definite article specific. But then it says sons of God. We have been given the right to become. Doesn't mean we're not a child of God the day we get saved. And I think a lot of Christians have that capacity in thinking, yeah, we're children of God. And we demean ourselves into being little kids. And as little kids, we have a little kid mentality. And little kids don't have a mature mentality. Amen? They have children's mentality. And so from that, we hope and pray our children grow up. How many times have we said as parents, why don't you just grow up? How many times do we say it to adults? Why don't you just grow up? Yeah. You know, and we're looking at the capacity to change from childlike thinking to mature thinking and to get our development in place. And every child and every person has a difference and they're very unique. But with that growth, there has to be development. All right. And in the Bible, it says this in 1 John 3:2. John wrote this, he says, beloved, now are we children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall, what? Be or become. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I always figured that I would never be like Jesus until he came back and manifested physically and clearly, whatever, that I would end up being like him. Thought, that's the day I'll be like Jesus. That's the day an ultimate transformation takes place. This mortal puts on immortality. And this is when we are completely transformed from this natural existence into spiritual existence. But let me talk to you about a totally different capacity. When we see him, we shall be like him. The Bible gives us encouragement in that. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, to glory to glory. There's a process of change. Have we seen Jesus lately? Not physically. Maybe you haven't ever seen a vision of Jesus. Maybe you haven't ever seen a form of Jesus. Maybe the only thing we've got to relate to is a painting or a picture, what we think Jesus looks like. But let me tell you something. If you read his word, you can't help but see Jesus. If you spend time with him, you can't help but see Jesus. And I'm telling you, if we've seen Jesus, there's a process that should be taking place in you and I on a daily basis when we set ourselves aside to be with him and to spend time in his word and to know him, that we recognize what I am now is what, not what I'm destined to be. Because what I am as a child of God doesn't really give me an insight as to what I shall be. And in this scripture, it doesn't yet, now are we the children of God. And it does not yet show clearly what we shall be or become. John also writes in his letters, and this is really interesting. He says, I write to you children, because you've known the Father. The word children in the Greek is an interesting word, nepios. I like to say nepios because it reminds me of kids. Nepios. We had a Greek guy at, he wasn't Greek actually, we said he looked Greek. But Bruce at Bible College was the youngest in the class, so he was called Nepios. That was his nickname. And every time we talked to Bruce, it was, hey, Nappy, come here. And everyone was wondering why we called him Nappy, but it was because it came from the word nepios, the children of God, the baby sons of God, the newborn children of God. John wrote to them, and there are other references to the children of God. If you look at the Greek, nepios. Okay, so you can never forget that word, nepios. They're the ones that are always, you know, needing changing and cleaning up. Then you go on. And he says, I write to you, children. He does it again, but they've grown up a little bit. And then he says, I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. Whoa. what does it take to grow to be a young man from a son of God or from a child of God to a young man? He says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Any of us have any problems with the devil chasing us and giving us a hard time? If we are young men, we've overcome that. Doesn't mean he's going to stop. It just means he doesn't get anywhere. Because we are young men in Christ. We have given ourselves to growing to that status where Satan, don't bother me in Jesus' name. It's like when Smith Wigglesworth woke up with a disturbance in his bedroom one night, saw the form of the devil at the foot of his bed, and he said, oh, it's only you, and rolled over and went to sleep. Most of us, oh, the devil's in my room! We'd be in panic mode. But not him. Ah, it's only you. He knew that a guy could not touch him. The devil had no capacity in any way, shape, or form to affect his life. An overcomer. We've been made overcomers, amen? In every way. Remember the story of Jesse Duplantis. Woke up one night and there was a silhouette in the corner of his room like this. I think I've told you the story. And it's moving, and it's just looking. And he's like, I bind you in Jesus. He got up and he says, I'm standing on my bed binding this thing and telling it to leave and go in the name of Jesus, and it didn't move. And he said, finally, I turned the light on, and it was a raincoat being blown by the air conditioner winds on the corner, on one of those stands in the corner of the room. And he said, God, why didn't you tell me it was a raincoat? He said, God just said to him, Jesse, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. I didn't want to stop it. We're going to really grow up sometimes. But honestly, whether it's a raincoat or whether it's a devil or whether it is in a room, how many of us would panic or how many of us would go, oh, it's only you? I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. He has no place in you. He has no hold on you. He can't touch you, and you know where he sits under your feet. And you have a full status, right, and authority to bind him and keep him at bay in Jesus' name all day, every day, at any time. I don't know about other dads, but growing up with kids that were out and about and knowing, you know, oh, I'd come home and there's no one there. Leck and the kids are not there. One of the greatest attacks of the enemy on my life at that stage was he would plant a thought in my mind. They should be here. Where are they? They're at a car accident. You're never going to see them again. That would, every time. The devil would be so strong. I could either panic, or what I did was, that's a lie in the name of Jesus. My wife and my kids have a covenant with Almighty God. They're blood covered. They're protected. They're totally safe and secure. They're in the hands of the living God, and I'll see them when they get home in the name of Jesus. I would never entertain a negative thought. I could have sat there and panicked, and some people do. But I never, ever did, because I knew there was a covenant relationship between me, my family, and our God, and everyone was fine. Sure enough, the car driving in 10 minutes, hour, 2 hours later, I would not even entertain the thought for a second longer. Why? I felt I had that status. I've overcome the wicked one. I wouldn't let him get a foothold. In Jesus' name. And we need to understand that. And then he said, when he said after that, I write to you fathers, because you've known him. This is interesting. The little children, you have known the Father. But the fathers, you have known him who is from the beginning. There was a relationship with the eternal God that was beyond natural knowledge. They'd come into an intimate relationship with their father. Oh, I love that. And you know, when we can express who God is to others, we've come to recognize him. Sure, he's my savior. Sure, he's my deliverer. Sure, there's so much of God that I can relate in my experience, my walk with him. But if someone comes to me and says, what do you know about God? I want to be the father who says, that relates, I've known him, who is from the beginning. My father who's in heaven. And can we relate and do that? Can we portray who God is, that we've come to know him at that amazing level as fathers in the house? Now, I know there are fathers in the household of faith who are there to nurture and to lead and to guide the church. But I really believe that there are people who need to be fathers relating Jesus to the world as well. So John puts those four facets and aspects of growth into his letter. But God, in using the terminology sons of God, and I think we've got that up there, next one maybe, Mash. He has a specific reason in using this terminology. He has given us the capacity, the right, and the authority to those who've received him to become from children to sons of God. Amen? And the sons of God were used as a specific for a reason, because God wanted them to understand and know, and they knew what sons were back in that era, in the way things were structured within the community and within the households. The sons took on household responsibilities. They grew to carry authority. They fulfilled or oversaw their father's directives. They gained the respect and trust of their father. They were recognized by the household. They were recognized by the community, and they were the heirs. Now, back then it was the sons, but when God calls us sons of God, he has no specifics. Whether you're a woman or a man, we are the ones that have to carry the heir and authority. Back in those days, the recognition was usually a ring on the finger. When the father delegated the major authority of the household to a son, he wore the household signet ring, and they recognized that he was the one that the father had given all authority to. You know, we don't have that, but boy, I tell you what, have we got the power of the Spirit of God. We've got our signet ring. We've got our authority and our divine charge from our Father to take whatever responsibilities we need to take in his name. Amen? And we take up those positions, household responsibilities. What's the church? We grow to carry authority. We're to fulfill and oversee our Father's directives. We're to gain the respect and the trust of our Father, recognized by the household or the church as to who God has anointed and empowered, recognized then by the community and the heirs of salvation. Amen. And the fullness of that salvation. I don't mean being saved. I mean the word soteria, which covers every facet of God's provisions for us in that salvation. We're sons of God. I've quoted this scripture a little earlier, which is beholding and transformed into his image from glory to glory. Let's move on. As a person, when Jesus came to earth, the Bible tells us he was fully man. People say, oh yeah, but he was also God. Bible tells us he emptied himself. I don't know how he was able to do that, but only God could do something like this, I believe. But he came and he found himself in the form of man and became of no reputation. He emptied himself fully of every capacity that he had with the Father in heaven. And he came here, born of a woman, and grew as a child, as a man, and he was fully man, fully human, and as like you and I, went through every feeling of emotion and temptation and whatever have you that the Bible describes. So he wasn't walking around with some specific guarded shield around him like a cocoon or whatever that he was. No, no, no. He was just like you and me. People could feel him. They could touch him. They knew he was just human. And in some cases, this is just the carpenter's son. What? Who's he think he is? In other cases, can anything good come out of Galilee? You know, or Nazareth? There were people who picked on him. They didn't want to see that he was anything different, but he lived different as a man. He came to fulfill his father's desires. Notice what it said about sons. He came fully to do the will of his father that sent him. And so in that divine authority, he functioned fully as a man, or in the form of a man. Okay? As a human being, same as you and I are, no difference. And the Bible tells us that he existed lived as a man in fullness. And the next slide, he was on this earth fully as a man, but he manifested or used his authority as a son of God. He called himself the Son of Man. Isn't that interesting? And even when he was questioned, are you a king or are you anything else? Well, whatever you say. He said that at the crucifixion region. He never actually pumped himself up, did he? Says the Son of Man has come to seek and save all that are lost. So he put himself in that same framework and capacity so you and I could relate to him fully. Then he did the things that he did under the directive and anointing of the Spirit of God that was on him. Wow, I'm just picturing you and I, and if we've been given the Spirit of God and the capacity to function as a son of God, grown up to the status where God fully entrusts us with the responsibilities of the household. Now, that don't throw that on the pastor. I function as a Christian at the same level as every one of you. My only other added responsibility is to seek God for what he wants for the church and to present it so we all can grow. Amen? And I'll tell you what, I get challenged and I grow in this as much as anybody. And this to me has been one of the most major challenges I've ever come across in my walk with God. And so living totally as a man so the Father could live through him was his lifestyle. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father that is in me, he's the one doing the works. So there's no pat on the back for self. You get that? And it's the same with us. And I've made the mistake, and I've seen it, where I've seen God work through my life, and I've got a big head over it. You know, there's times when I've laid hands on people, and they've got healed, and I'm like, hey, look at me. What a lot of nonsense. That wasn't how Jesus functioned. I've got to learn to be like him and just speak the word only, and the servant is made whole. What? Who through? Through Christ, the anointed one living in me, through his Spirit. And none of the, you know, okay, up to now I've been quite strong on declaring in faith and God's word, by his stripes we're healed, and bringing that into my prayer over people's lives. And I'm really challenged now that if someone's really struggling, to just go up and allow the life that is in me released into them. You take communion. Why? Because of God's life poured out to you. But not so you can just say, oh, I've got this bundle of life in me. No, it's for you to be able to then go it to others and release it. We're here to release it into the lives of others. And so if there's someone who's really sick, you have no problems in Jesus' name walking up and saying, I set you free from that infirmity. By the life of God that's in me, I release it into you now in the name of Jesus. Walk away. Whoa, is that simple? It's too simple. But you know something? If we're walking as sons of God and we have the authority of the household of faith and the backing of our Father in heaven with our, quote, signet ring or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to function and operate in the authority of the Father, what is stopping us? What is stopping us? Could I walk into a hospital bed, see someone totally locked up in a coma with a prognosis that is completely beyond the doctor's capacities? We don't think she'll come through. It's pretty serious. I set you free from this coma and every infliction in your body and every broken bone in the name of Jesus. Walk out and say to your associate at the door, okay, job's done, let's go. With total confidence. Come on, God, that's where I want to be. Not because I want to show off, not because of anything else, but I see that there's a capacity in God that we haven't touched yet because we haven't grown or become sons of God that have the full authority of the household operating in and through our lives. And I want that to be my life. I want it to be my experience. The parallel in Jesus' life is available to us. Christ is in us, the hope or the deposit of God to manifest his glory. As Jesus said, I am in the Father and he is in me. But he said, most surely I say to you, he believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Do we believe in Jesus here in this place today? Any of us believe in him? The works he did, you will do also. The works Jesus did, I will do also. Does that sound weird? That makes me like cringe a little bit. Like, oh, do I have the right to say that? Do I have the... He gave me authority to become a son of God, not to stay a child. Jesus functioned as a son of God. He was the son of God, but we are sons of God in him. If any man be in Christ, then Christ is in him. And he says, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Wow. That's a bold statement that Jesus gave. But is it one he entrusts us with yet? Are we fully entrusted as a son of God in the household? Has he put the signet ring on our finger to say, this is the one I've given all my authority and capacity to run my place? If you have the anointing of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit in your life, you're on the way. But as John wrote, we are the children of God. And it hasn't fully appeared what we shall be. But when we see him, and I want to see him. I don't want to wait until the return of the Lord Jesus and say, hey, I've seen the Lord, now I'm like him. No, no, no. I want to see him in a way that says, when I see him, I'm going to go, gee, he's just like me. No, I'm just like him. You know, I've learned to function in a capacity that when I see him, I know that I have been like him. Can we say that? When I see him, I will recognize that I have already been like him, and I'm seeing him as he is, and I know that what I've done and what I've been and how I've functioned and how I've operated as a son of God has been on a parallel with him. Amen? We have been given the power, right, authority, and capacity to become, to grow up, to be fully manifested as sons of God. To our lives, letting his life shine and flow through us. Wow. You know, Jesus said to them in John 16:7, he says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage and benefit that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit or the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And so he said, you can't function the way God wants you to or be who God wants you to be while I am here. I'm restraining and holding you back because everything is being done here. I'm doing it. But I tell you what, I'm leaving. And it's for your benefit that I'm leaving, because when I go away, instead of just being me here on my Pat Malone doing everything myself, we're going to multiply. You are going to then do the things that I've been doing. You're going to take up the gauntlet. You're going to have the authority of the household. You're the ones that are going to have the Father's signet ring of the Holy Spirit. You're the ones that are going to carry the anointing, the empowering, and the authority and the responsibility of the household of faith. Oh, I love that. I do. And it has done my head in to the point I'm saying, God, why didn't you show me this 50 years ago? He couldn't have handled it. I still don't know if I can handle it, because it really is the most nerve-wracking, challenging insight I've seen in God's Word, moving in the Spirit in a realm that allows God to flow through me in a way that manifests my life as a son of God. I don't know about you, but that is really, really daunting. That's daunting. But I've sold myself to saying, God, if that's what you want, here I am. Here I am. Come on, Lord, your Holy Spirit is teaching me. And I've asked him lately for direction and correction, protection and everything else. But you know, I've said in the prayer meetings and I've said over and over again, I have this sense in my heart that God is really moving and stirring up his church. And I'm not just saying here, I'm seeing it in other parts of the planet and reports I'm getting from everywhere that are going in a very parallel and similar or same direction. That God is challenging his people to rise up. So we're not on our own. And I'm not on my own. God's doing it in a mass amount. The sons of God, the heart and aim of God as our Father is for us to grow in him, to become just as Jesus was, to be manifested as sons of God. Manifested simply means to be seen clearly as. Okay, it's no big, whoa, here I am. It's just to be seen clearly as a son of God, a son of God in life, in action, and in demonstration. You know, Paul wrote in Romans, and it was very clear in Romans 8, I consider the sufferings of this present time to be nothing. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the anxious, this is one translation I picked up, for the anxious longing of the creation, that's all of creation, waits eagerly for the manifestation and revealing of the sons of God. I was always taught that that was going to be when Jesus come back. But I tell you something, I'm beginning to realize. This world is crying out, is travailing like a woman in pain for the manifested sons of God to show themselves, to be who we're meant to be in God. It goes on and it says this, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, or subjected it in hope. It was actually subjected to futility in the beginning when sin came in. It's had a futile existence. It hasn't had a purpose. It hasn't had its direction. It hasn't had anything to live for it or go on for the way that God initially planned it to be. It's a substandard existence. But God in hope and in the deposit in us, the hope that is placed in us was God's hope for us. Amen? That the futility would end and that it would change, that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, or sons of God, if you want to put it as well. I'm not sure what words used there. I've never looked that one up. For we know that the whole of creation is groaning and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now, expecting the manifestation, expecting the manifestation of the sons of God, the revelation, the revealing, the clear sighting of, the full manifestation of those who are the sons of God, who are exercised in operation of God's power and authority in and through their lives. Now, Hebrews 5 was very clear, and I'll finish with this, where there's a descriptive there that there's a milk and a meat scenario. But when the writer wrote to the Hebrews, he said, you've become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. In other words, you've regressed a little bit. Instead of maturing, you're going back to your childhood. You've got a mental problem or a mental state problem that's saying, hey, we're just children, we're the children, da 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 da. And you've become such as have need of milk. Milk is there to grow. The Bible tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. And in growing, we develop. In developing, we mature. And in maturing, we don't stay children any longer. We become young men, fathers, but manifested sons of God. We need to get growing, amen? We need to get going to become fully developed in the area that the manifestation of God's life can be entrusted to us. It's not something that we can do, but God knows the preparation of our lives, and he's not going to pour out his life in and through us while we're bubbling around playing in a sandpit. Even though it might be a Christian sandpit. He wants us to be part of the household of faith. Amen. And so if we grow, and he will then see that he brings all the resources of heaven in and through us to a world that so desperately needs it. I think I can tell this story without... Well, everyone knows, I think. But Jen's daughter, Em, was at the market last Sunday. Now, you know, Em's just a young Christian. And she saw a guy sitting over on a table by himself, just no one talking to him, just on his own. And she fought with the, I've never gone and talked to anybody. What do I do? And this hesitancy and this uncertainty, and finally she mustered up the courage and said, no, I'm going to do it anyway. So she went and talked to this guy and just sat down. He opened up. He said, I'm on my own. So I can go 7 days without seeing a soul, without talking to anybody, without having a mature conversation with any other person. I come here because it's a place where someone will talk to me. You should have seen him after that. She was almost, didn't have her feet on the ground. She was so excited that she had an opportunity to share with someone. That's part of development, to allow the life of God being portrayed and manifested to others. Amen? We allow that to continue in our lives. God's going to say, here's the ring, kid. Go show your authority and be who I want you to be, the way I want you to be it. That's my heart. That's my passion. And it's not just seeing people healed. It's not just going out and seeing people's lives, you know, restored from that sort of thing, but from every facet of whatever this corrupted world has destroyed people's lives and led them into, if the manifested sons of God get in their face or get into their world or get into their circle of influence, there's no reason why we can't set them free. No reason at all. You know, we're praying for Gisborne. We've been praying for Gisborne. We've been praying for the regions. In fact, it's really funny. God corrected me one night here at prayer meeting when we're, Lord, save the people of Gisborne. He says, how am I going to do it if you don't start acting? That was exactly as it came to me. He's not going to get out there and start, hey, come on, into Faith Works, you come on, and start ushering them in. He's awaiting the manifestation, the sons of God. Thanks, Darren.